Hey, this is Brandon Ludwig, and you're listening to Beam Me Up, Scotty, starring Kenny Scott Guffey, Brian Labuda, Dawson Maiman, and Trevor Lasur.
Welcome back, Jordan Esso. How you been, buddy?
Been really good. Yeah, it's been a busy time, but happy to be busy. You know, been very creatively fertile.
Well, the last time you were on was about a year ago? Close to it. Not exactly a year, but close to it. Probably, I think, in June, I think, last year.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, what's been up since then? How's it been going?
Yeah, it's been going really good. I mean, aside from, you know, all of the chaos of the real world, here in the creative land, it's just been really kind of busy and fun, and I've been working on a lot of drawings, and actually since the end of fall, I've been fairly consumed by a pair of film projects that I'm working with some new collaborators, and we filmed the initial project in December, and we had such a good time, and everything went so smoothly that we kind of jumped right into making another one. So we're in post-production on the first film, and we're about to roll cameras on the second one.
It's fantastic. Can we hear about the films, or are they still?
Of course.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, to some degree, they're a pair, both because it's the same creative people involved, but the second one really is a direct sequel to the first one. And I proposed a sequel when we all wanted to make another one, because I suspected we had more to say about these characters. So we didn't know that when we made the first one, that it would be, you know, the first in a series of stories. And this might be it for this pair of characters, or who knows, maybe there'll be a third one at some point. But it's, you know, it's about a man and a woman who are in a relationship that is disintegrating. So, you know, it is very much about them. But on another level, it is, I would say, very much about our current global state of affairs, you know, with regards to the pandemic and all of the attending uncertainty that has created. So there's ciphers for that, for the chaos of the world, in a way. You know, this the world that has been disassembled but can't quite be put back together in the same way, because the pieces have changed shape, and the relationship is being disassembled and can't be quite put back together as the relationship that they remember having together, because they've changed and their componental pieces have changed shape. So the first one introduces the husband and wife. They're named Khan and Sen. I should say, I guess, I wrote the screenplays for both projects. But I have three other producing partners. Two of them are my co-directors, and their names are Vita and Brian Hewitt. And then my fourth producing partner is named Chris Tregiari, and he's the set designer and fabricator. And Vita is also a lead actor in the projects. I'm a lead actor in the projects, and Brian is the cinematographer and editor.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's a real tight crew, which has been helpful being nimble in shooting projects in the pandemic, because it's a little trickier to try to, you know, make sure everybody's safe and, of course, follow all the current guidelines that SAG has for having production under these conditions.
I know it's probably been really challenging for you guys, because it's like you're trying to work, but it's almost like you're having to learn – to work again, you know, at, like in a different way than you were before. So I can imagine that's been a really huge challenge for you guys. But it's so great, though, to see that people are back to being able to be creative again, because, you know, last summer sucked. You know, it was bad. But this year, I think I hold out a lot of hope for this year. I think I kind of feel like everything's slowly starting to get back to normal. You know, I can kind of feel it a little bit. I'm starting to be like, oh, this feels familiar, you know, as opposed to everything we went through last year. It was bad.
Completely. Yeah, I think the vaccine has brought a lot of optimism into the mix.
Yeah.
And, you know, and spring is here, so I think psychologically we're primed for feeling like, you know, the world can wake up. And I feel pretty optimistic.
I do too. It's great, you know, and of course, you know, with, like you said, you mentioned the vaccines and, you know, you've got the stimulus checks and whatnot. People are getting some money, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I kind of feel I feel an optimism that was not there. And so it's really cool, to see that and to feel that. And so when your films are done, where are they going to be released at? Do you know yet?
We don't have that plan set in place. I think film festivals are of interest, but we're still considering whether or not we want to exhibit these things as one experience. The first film, it's in post right now, so we know the length, and it's coming in, you know, around 40 minutes, maybe a couple minutes over. So it's a very strange gray area of runtime where it's not really a short and it's not really a feature.
Right.
We wanted to kind of respect what the film was asking of us. So that ended up being the runtime. And the second one thing we're talking about, and we'll kind of figure that out, I think, once we get a little bit further along, once we film it and we start having a rough cut to kind of handle and maybe watch the end of the first one with the beginning of the second one and just see if they line up in a way that's helpful to them both, because they are going to be in different kind of film languages. The first one is almost a silent movie. There's no dialogue. And this is part of filming inside of a pandemic. We were responding to the pandemic, but we were also having to figure out how logistically to manage working within the pandemic. And what we arrived at was we filmed with masks on the entire time, which is to say the characters were also wearing masks. And this really helped kind of carve out this distance between the two characters, you know, and the absurdity of their domestic rituals and the absurdity, the sort of bittersweet absurdity of their relationship.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it really worked great. It also became sort of part and parcel with this idea that we weren't going to catch audio so much. So there's just, you talked about learning how to work a different way. This was very much the case because we could only see our eyes. Our eyes had to tell the story. And so there was no dialogue. And I mean, obviously our physicality and our body language, but really we only see the top part of our faces was an interesting challenge. And in the second film, there's also not going to be any spoken dialogue, but there's a lot of voiceover. So the characters have decoupled in the first film. In the second film, they're separated. Mm-hmm. And it's part of the dream logic of the piece that they are somehow in direct communication with each other. They can talk to each other, talk at each other. There's some sense of like omniscient awareness of the other person. But they are in different locations and they're very much in different worlds at this point. But again, there's no spoken dialogue, but at least the masks are coming off. So we're seeing the full face of the character.
That's so cool. And, like, I kind of got some chills. Like when you said, you know, basically you're just seeing their eyes. The eyes are so expressive. The eyes can say so much more than the mouth really can, you know? And that's so amazing. I cannot wait to see that.
Oh, thank you. I'm pretty proud of it. I'm really happy with, you know, the way we all worked together. It's been such a blessing to have found each other as creative partners, because it's so easy to end up in sort of creative company that you like each other, but your ideas aren't necessarily synthesizing easily. And in this case, it's just the opposite. Like, all our ideas, we just kind of blend together very easily. We all want the same thing. We're speaking the same language. So it's been really wonderful.
That's great. Like, I can't wait to see it. I'm a huge Jordan fan. I really am. And, you know, you're you, and then I'm the guy who texts you, and you're like, who is this again? You know, I'm just like, it's me, your biggest fan, Jordan.
Oh, you're so funny, Scott. No, not at all.
But
it's always good to hear from you.
I love texting you. Like, I'll see something, and I always mean to text you. Sometimes I'll take a picture, and I'll take it just for you, and I totally forget to send it to you. And then you're like, where's my text that I ain't heard from you in a bit? And it's like, yeah, I know. It's like, it's part of me like pulling back, trying not to overwhelm or smother you with my friendship, you know. I just try to pull back on that.
Smother away. It's nice to have your friendship, Scott.
Did you finish Twin Peaks?
I did. You know, I rewatched all of it. So even the stuff I hadn't seen, I rewatched. And yeah, it was amazing. It was really inspirational for actually some of the work that I've been doing. Because especially The Return. I don't think you've
I have not seen it yet. I have not.
Okay. Yeah. So I won't say anything about its content, but its style, you know, Lynch and Frost really gave in to the instinct to not sew up storylines, to have scenes that were very much about mood and about character without worrying about the contribution to the overall plot. Mm-hmm. Or worrying about, you know, the attention span of the audience. I think there's one scene in particular, I think, that people got a little frustrated with, but I thought it was brilliant. It was basically a 2-minute scene of a incidental character sweeping the floor of the bar room. And it's just so beautifully seated you in that space and made you keep time with the character. The way the character saw time passing, you had to see time pass in the same way. You weren't saved by, you know, a quick cut to another character or someone's reaction shot. It was one shot. It was a master shot. So stuff like that just really inspires me. Not everybody has the ability to, I think, get decisions like that cleared through production, but they have the, you know, Lynch has Final Cut on all the stuff he does. So
yeah.
Yeah, and which is just reason to highlight out of the whole entire series, but you know, stuff like that was really wonderful about the Return.
Yeah, Lynch is great. Like, you know, I really enjoyed the first two seasons. I have not seen, you know, like I said, The Return yet, and I don't think I've seen Fire Walk With Me, or maybe I have. I cannot remember. I'm trying to think.
Okay,
I can't remember, but I am a Twin Peaks fan. I like Twin Peaks, and you know, like, did you watch WandaVision yet or no?
No, I haven't seen any yet.
I know. I think you and I were waiting on each other to watch it, so I think I'm.
We're both going to check it out at some point.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet either.
Okay.
It's been a really busy year so far.
It has
been. March.
Yeah, it's been really busy.
It's a good busy though. It's great, you know. I'm so.
Do you have anything you've seen that you would recommend?
I'm always iffy on recommending anything because my tastes are so eclectic, you know. I'm like, ooh, this is great, you know. Would you recommend it to somebody? No, I would not. So, no. There's films that Tiffany and I will finish watching a movie and we're like, that was good, you know. I can't ever recommend that somebody sit down and watch it. And then typically, like if somebody if the audience, the mass audience loves something, we usually don't like it. I don't know. It's weird. I'm like, this is kind of overhyped. I feel like it's overhyped, you know? So, you know, it just kind of depends. I know I'm currently, you know, we have the film Reunion from Hell coming out, premiering next month.
Yeah.
And so that's...
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very excited for that. But, yeah, I really... enjoy my friendship with you and everything that that you bring to the table. You introduced a lot of stuff to my life. You really did, because I asked to interview you, you know, a year ago or, you know, however long ago, and you started sending me all these articles to your work, and, you know, I started researching you, and I was like, this guy's really interesting. Okay, cool. I knew of you, but I didn't really know a lot about you before. And, now, you know, you're somebody who I'm very proud to call a friend, so.
Right on, man. Thank you. Thanks for reading all that stuff I sent you.
I did. I loved it because, you know, when you sent me an audio interview too, I think, and either you sent it to me or I found it, and I listened to it, and yeah, I mean, if the guest sends me something, I take the time to, you know, invest, and, you know, I look at what they send me because, you know, I figured they're sending it for a reason, right? And so I think that you were a really good fit for the podcast in season one. Season two, I didn't really get to have a lot of people on, like, as far as that I got to have a lot of great guests on, but I didn't get to have a lot of the people on that I wanted to get back on. And so I'm trying to remedy that with season three and get some people back on that were really great. Like, your episode was actually a really popular episode in season one, so I wanted to get you back on. And so, yeah, here we are now.
Cool deal.
You're the first cool guest. Deal. You're the first guest to return, though.
Right on.
You are.
Well, it's you know, what a cool day. What a fun day. I spent some time rehearsing some material with my co-lead. I'm polishing some dialogue. I worked on some chord changes for a song that's going to be in the second film, and then I get to hang out with you for a little while.
I appreciate that. Did you have any last words you might want to leave the listeners with? I don't want to take up too much of your time today, of course.
Yeah, well, no, it's all good, but I guess I'll answer my own question. I asked you if you had any film or television recommendations. I was slow to catch up on this one, but I recently watched Queen and Slim by director Melina Matsoukas, and it is awesome. Like, really, a really great watch, and I think it's on HBO still, so you could.
I've not heard of that. That's awesome. I will have to check that out on HBO Max.
Yeah, it should be. I believe so.
Are you going to watch a Snyder Cut?
You know, I really loathed that film the first time around, so I'm not sure I'm brave enough. I might have to wait for a day when I've had a lot of sleep.
But Jordan, this one's 4 hours long, okay?
Exactly. Maybe I'll just wait for it. Hate myself a lot.
Like, I think it premieres at like 10 p.m. or something. And I'm like, okay, that's awfully late for me to start a regular movie. Okay.
That's so true.
I thought it was originally going to be like a four-part film, kind of like a little limited series or mini series. But I think now it's going to be like a full 4-hour film from what I'm hearing. I could be wrong. But I'm not starting a film at 10 PM. So I will eventually get around. It's, you know, I sit down to watch a movie. It's an hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes. Okay. Like, and I mean, I usually have to take an intermission at some point in between because my attention span is gone. Like, I don't have an attention span anymore. It's very hard for me to, you know, sit down and physically focus on something else because my mind is constantly thinking, well, I could be doing this or I could be doing that. I need to be doing this, need to be, you know, and it's just, I can't turn it off, you know, and it's hard for me to go to sleep at night too for the same reasons. I'm like, I could be sleeping or I could be doing something else, you know, so.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a cancer of our age that we feel like we need to constantly be multitasking. So
yeah,
if that instinct is coming from a place of, hey, I'm doing something passive and I should be doing something active, like that sounds like a good instinct. If it's coming from a more place like, oh, I didn't get enough done and these other things are weighing on me and therefore I can't even focus on the thing in front of me, like that's just the way things, all of our personal electronics encourage us to think that way, and it's actually not very healthy.
I think you're right. I think you're definitely right on that. Maybe I need to like take a break from the electronics. But then I'm like, I always say that I would have fit in so well, maybe in say like the 1950s where everything was ideally perfect. It wasn't really like that, but it's presented that way, you know, in film and television. And yeah. I'm like, I would have fit in perfect, you know, in that Pleasantville type era. And then You know, the amount of anger that I have during power outages where I can't use any electronics suggests that is untrue, actually. Because I can't use any of my I can use my phone until it dies. You know, and I've got nothing else. I'm starting to rethink that. I think I was really, I always say I hate the time period we live in, but I think really, I think I fit in perfect here.
It is incredible, like the resources you have as a creative person to research any given topic. I mean, especially during a pandemic, when your ability to physically go somewhere and get some hands-on experiences at best limited. It's amazing the amount of information you can find.
You know, I didn't know anything about you, and yet just at my fingertips, I found, you know, your work and previous interviews, articles, and just everything. You know, I mean, the internet is a vast resource that I think is actually underused by a lot of people. Instead of, you know, it's not used for educational purposes, really. It's more for looking at memes of cats.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Hey, dude, what's up?
Not much. Did you get your furniture?
I did, but now I'm freaking out because some of the stuff doesn't fit on it, so now I have less room than I did before.
No. Tell everybody what you got.
Well, I got a credenza, mid-century modern credenza, and then Emily bought a bookcase. The bookcase will be fine, but the thing that I bought was like 4 inches shorter than the thing I had before, which I thought wasn't going to be a big deal, but apparently it was.
Sometimes it's not, but then when it is, it really, really is. I remember a few years ago, we moved a 47-inch flat screen in our car. Like, we had to take it out of the box. I was not going to leave it at the store and come back and get it. I'm like, nah, this is going in the car. It's going in the car. And the kid who helped, he was really nice. I gave him like a $10 tip. He helped me take it out of the box. He really like helped me get it in the car. So yeah, I get that. I totally get it. But so it's, you know, like you said, mid-century, right?
Yeah. And so it looks really cool. Like, everything looks cool on it. But, like, I don't want to be stacking stuff on it.
Yeah, you know? No, yeah, I totally get that.
Which it kind of did before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, originally before I bought this furniture, I was looking at a open back bookcase anyway to put my stereo system on.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm still just going to buy that.
I don't blame you. I just want to say, too, I don't know how many people, you know, listening ever actually creep on your Facebook or Instagram or whatever, but I am so jealous of your setup. But
it's just, you know, when you got a small apartment, it's kind of like, you try to fit everything because you don't want to get rid of it. Because, like, this stuff, like, once you get rid of it, you're probably not going to get it back again. And if you do get it back, you'll be paying out the ass for it, you know?
That's pretty sad, actually. Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about it like that, you know? But
so it's like, you know, it's like kind of hard to let go of some things. I'm letting go of some things.
Yeah.
But, like, the new speakers I just picked up are not going to fit where I had them. So now I need to find another place for them, which is like a pain in the ass, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, okay. Well, but other than that, you're enjoying them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, definitely. I love them. It's so much better than that stupid cube thing that I had, which I had books on, but like there's no backing to the cube thing. So like the books would fall off the back constantly.
You know, I always think about alternate episode titles, like what I would call them. That would be a really good episode title. There's no backing to the cube.
Yep.
There's no backing.
Everything's falling off the cube. There's no backing to it.
Yeah, everything's falling off the cube. Maybe after this season, I'll go through and I'll rename all the episodes. That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
That'd be fun.
Well, at the end of season one, I went through and I re-edited all the episodes to include your theme song.
Oh, yeah? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so all of season one has your theme song now.
Awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to work that in. But I guess I don't really have a whole lot to go over. I know that you were, you know, getting the furniture. I wanted to check in and, you know, see how that was going and,
Yeah. I'm putting my records in it right now. I'll send you a
picture. Dude, definitely send a picture. Because, you know, we actually bought a record player a couple weeks ago, but we only have one record. That's it. Really? Yeah, because we bought
what
it.
Record?
That's what I was going to say. We bought it at the same time we bought the record player. And it's one of those, like, in a suitcase type Victrolas, right? And and Tiffany was, like, looking. We got it at Walmart. And she was looking through their records. She's like, what album should I get? And I'm like, okay. I was really conflicted because I'm like, I don't want to be limited to just, like, this one band. Like, yeah. Or this one, you know, couple songs that we like or whatever. And she found the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, which is filled with, like, 50 songs, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, just various 50 songs. I'm like, of all the records to get, I would say, yeah, that's probably the perfect one. And it's purple. It's purple, dude.
Really?
It's like
a color vinyl. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And so now I'm trying to, like, because I'm thinking of all the places that I've seen them, you know, like flea markets and yard sales and stuff. And I'm like, I really want to go and buy more now, you know, because I want to expand our collection because they're coming back now. They're getting cool again. You know, I'm not sure why they ever weren't because I think they're awesome. But, you know, now that they're coming back in style, now you're seeing them, you know, like you couldn't walk into Walmart and buy a record before, but now you can, you know.
Do you know what's funny, though, is that punk bands have been doing vinyl releases. They, like, never stopped.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, they, like, never stopped, right? Like, I mean, like, they've been pretty consistent.
For a long time, it was the cheapest. It was, like, cheaper to put out a record than a CD.
You know, one thing with you, I always say, like, I'll say to Tiffany or something, you know, not all heroes wear capes. Sometimes they wear band tees. And that's you. That's totally you. Wednesday morning, Dawson texted me a voice memo. And I thought that it was too entertaining to have just left between the two of us. So with his permission, I am sharing it now with the entire rest of the world. Here, you can take a listen.
Dude, so get this. So I'm on the way to Ruston, which is like a 35, 40 minute drive from Monroe, where I live. I work in Ruston in Farmville. And it's raining right now on the way. And so I'm just sitting there. I'm actually catching up on the podcast right now, but I'm sitting there listening to the podcast, and it's raining and my wipers are going, and the next thing I know, my driver's side wiper blade just fucking flies off, dude. Fucking flies off going 77 miles an hour down the interstate. Flies off.
Let's see what Trevor's up to.
Hello. You've reached the answering machine of Trevor LeSueur. In Trevor's absence, I've been programmed to answer any questions you might have. Please ask a question.
Is this new?
I'm sorry, I cannot answer complex hypothetical scenarios. Please ask something else.
Where is Trevor?
I'm sorry, I cannot comment on the hem of your slacks. Please ask something else.
Okay. Look, I need to talk to Trevor.
Yes, marshmallows can be substituted for lion eyes when preparing a 7-layer artichoke hard casserole. Probably. Thank you. Goodbye.
I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, this is Brian with another movie review. So, this week, I decided to do the movie The Witch, which is a newer movie. I know I do a lot of older movies, but The Witch is one of my favorite newer movies to come out. I think the A24 film company does a lot of really cool movies. They have some stinkers also, but The Witch, I saw that in the movie theater, and just having that experience in the theater was amazing. I know a lot of people don't like it because it's a slow burn. It's kind of hard to follow. It's also dreary the whole time. I mean, the whole movie is on this one kind of, like, horrible, like, low note. It starts off dreary and it ends drearier. And I love that. I think the acting in it was phenomenal. I think that, you know, the atmosphere of the movie, the dark gray skies, the, you know, the setting, the out in the wilderness with the settlers. It's just such an atmospheric movie, but I could also understand at the same time why people didn't really care for it back then. I know that's kind of hard to kind of get through, especially in a time where people are so used to Marvel movies and Star Trek movies and Star Wars movies, where it's just action the whole entire time. I'm not going to say that The Witch is a thinking man's movie, because it really isn't, but it definitely requires your attention the entire time. You need to pay attention to what's going on. You need to follow the storyline in order to get it. And unfortunately, the jock douchebag who was behind me in the movie theater, who felt the need to get up after the movie and go, well, that fucking sucked. That made no fucking sense. It made sense. It's just that you're a fucking idiot. So, yeah, I highly suggest, you know, if you can sit through a movie and pay attention to what's going on, check out The Witch. Also, if you're into The Witch and you've already seen it, I highly suggest that you check out a movie from 1983 called Eyes of Fire. Eyes of Fire kind of really made me feel like The Witch was kind of a remake or a homage to it, just because it kind of follows the same dreariness. You have to pay attention to it. You have to kind of just sit there and indulge in this movie. You have to submerge yourself in this movie. And Eyes of Fire just, it has great atmosphere. It's a really unique movie. And the thing with Eyes of Fire was it was made during a time when all these slasher movies were coming out. I don't think it got a really wide release. It never got a Blu-ray or DVD. But I know that The Witch is, you know, there's VHS copies which are getting kind of pricey now because people are starting to discover it. But also there's a free copy of it on YouTube that you can watch too. So I highly suggest checking out The Witch and Eyes of Fire.
On behalf of Beam Me Up, please visit AntonYelchinFoundation.org. Thank you.